We are going to study, there are four chapters of Isaiah that are readings for Pentecost, and so we're going to start on those today. I don't know how many we'll finish, so we'll even finish one, but they all are about the sufficiency of God and the insufficiency of man, and they emphasize the, well, let's just read, let's start. Go to Isaiah 40. So we're not waiting for you?
No, I'm on the page.
He's there.
He's there?
Yeah, what?
You got very lucky.
No, he didn't tell me what page.
Okay, he's ready. Let's go.
Isaiah 40.
Page 760 here. It's all about it.
Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably, comfortable. Speak you comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain hill shall be made low, or every high place, really, as it says. And the crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. And the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? And that this little deal has never stopped. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? What shall I say? It's so tempting to give solutions, but that's not what you say. It's so tempting to comfort by saying, oh, you're going to make it, everything's okay. But that's not what we should cry. What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. That alone is enough to bring repentance. But again, we read these verses as if we're reading some, we're separate from it, as if we're reading a novel or if we're reading a, but we can't be. We have to return to that way of the language of the ancient Hebrew, where there's no future tense, there's no past tense. It's now, it's now, it's now. What shall I say? All flesh is as grass, and the goodliness, the best of it, is as if the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth away. Just about everything we do, from this reading to building the booth, is to watch and to see and to know the emptiness and futility of human effort. And yet it never seems to go away. What?
Well, I was thinking about what about me is eternal? I've got all these memories, I've got a life, I've got a this, I've got a that, but if it's grass,
O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up to the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up. Be not afraid, say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord will come with a strong hand, and his arm, or Zeroth, shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Actually, his work, it says his work. The results are assured, is what it says. Behold, the Lord will come with a strong hand. He shall feed the flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with the span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a little, very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations, now that word nations there is am. it means people. All nations before him are as nothing. They are counted to him less than nothing. And vanity. Now, you can easily see why this is one of the readings for the counting of, during the counting of the Omer. Because there is nothing that you value, that you think is good, that can stand against this chapter. Amen? Anybody else have any response so far? Even this, the verse 15 is part of it is kind of a humorous idiom, I guess is the word. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. The small dust is after the merchant has been done weighing the grain, or whatever he's weighing, and then he sold it and got rid of it, and he's cleaning up. It's the small dust is blow the stuff that's left over after you've cleaned or finished your work.
Not even in the count.
No, it's not even. That's a good way of putting it. But yet we tend to worship. Every culture worships its own nation. We come up with so much bigotry and hatred. There's another word that I want to use, but I can't remember it. All nation in verse 17. All nations before. I'm going to have that operation, I think. Or maybe just new glasses.
New glasses might be a story.
You didn't have to say that, Pete. You could have just left it lay down.
How long has it been since you had your eyes checked?
Not that long.
That long? That the same, like, not that long you've been smoking pipe?
Yeah, really.
See, the problem with living in community is they know everything about you. All nations before, let's get back to the Holy Word. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing, and vanity. To whom then will you liken God, or what likeness will you compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. And he that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. And he seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Now, you understand they're talking about the external idolatry that people had, every culture. But we know that that's a metaphor for the internal idolatry that we have. Now, remember the, let's go to 1 Corinthians 11. It's not there. It's the one that talks about wood, hay, and stubble. Pete, do you have your magic Bible? Verse 21. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing, and maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown, yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth, and he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. Now what is he talking about? He's really, in a basic sense, in all this, he's talking about your ideas, your opinions of good and evil. That those opinions come from your idolatry.
Sounds like the threshing floor, whirlwind shall take them away as stone.
Right. That's why, you know, and remember we've talked before about the original synagogue had to be on top of a hill. It could have no walls. It had to be on the highest hill in the area because of the wind would blow. That's what the wind was the greatest, and the wind would blow away the stubble and the chaff and all that other stuff. All right. To whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and behold who created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, or my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, and the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There's no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that are that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall fail and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Now, again, remember, walk means conduct your life, and faint means to quit in your mind. Now, quitting in your mind happens all the time. Quitting in your mind happens every time you leave the mercy seat, because of judgment, because of opinion, because of all the other things we've studied. All right, that's 40. Let's start in 41. Any comments on 40?
What can you say after that?
Once again, it sounds like Ecclesiastes.
Yeah, that's right. Because the purpose of the counting of the older, the purpose of the Pentecost reading, bring forth total and complete emptiness.
You know, how do you get to the point of emptiness? Paul says, I am determined to speak nothing, blah, blah, blah. And
it wasn't a blah, blah, blah. It was that it has not been wrought in me by Christ Jesus.
No, I'm determined to speak nothing save Jesus Christ and him crucified.
No, that's another one, yeah.
But he said another one.
He said, I'm determined to know nothing among you.
Right. But there's another place where he determined his weakness, or he knew he was strong.
Remember, you're never tested by something you possess. You have to empty what you possess. And that emptiness becomes true repentance.
The point is, can you do that?
Can I do it?
Can you do it, or does it something that you have to, that it comes upon you by your giving your all and failing?
This isn't about failing. That's not what he's talking about. This is about knowing that there's a power that you have from God. This is the whole meaning of the testing of Christ. But yet you have to empty yourself of all that in order that the connection between you and the Father stays pure, empty.
But the point is, can you do that in your own strength? Can you determine with that which is evil, that you will empty?
Well, you're not, that's not it. You didn't determine to empty, you determined to buy that which is evil. The best this thing can do is to see the futility and emptiness of human effort. And it's obvious, every man can see it. That's repentance. And that's the only thing man can do that has any merit whatsoever, is to bring forth fruit necessary for repentance.
But then how do you do that? How do you study? Do you live your life?
How do you repent? How do you maintain emptiness? You wait on the Lord. Nothing else. You never lean on your own arm of understanding, because you've seen it's futile. Keep silence, Isaiah 41:1. Keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, let them speak. Let us come near together to judgment. Who raised up the righteous man from the east, called him to his foot, gave the nations before him, and made him rule over kings. He gave them as the dust to his sword, and as driven stubble to his bow. He pursued them and passed safely, even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first and the last, I am he. The isles saw it and feared. The ends of the earth were afraid and drew near and came. They helped everyone his neighbor, and everyone said to his brother, be of good courage. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smootheth with a hammer him that smote the anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering. And he fasteneth it with nails, that it should not be moved. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou, whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them, and shall not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm of Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and thou shalt make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. And thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open the rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar and the shittah tree and the myrtle and the oil tree. I will set thee in the desert the fir tree and the pine and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. There's a lot in that chapter that I don't understand. And that's all I can say. I mean, that part of the chapter. I don't understand why the reference to trees. I kind of do, but I don't really. And anyway, I don't know anything about that. We're just reading it. We're reading it. And if you can help me understand it, please do.
That's my arborist.
But this is the one I want. This part of it is the one I. Produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, saith the King of Jacob. Let them bring them forth and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things what they be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare us things for to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that you are gods, yea, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and behold it together. Behold, you are of nothing, and your work of naught. An abomination is he that chooseth you. That's just mean. Right?
Makes sense, though.
It's not nice.
In other words, anybody that would pick me to be on their team is an idiot.
Well, that is special.
That is special.
That's a given.
That's not nice. It just isn't nice. I have raised up one from the north, and he shall come. From the rising of the sun shall he call upon my name, and he shall come upon prisons, princes, and upon mortar, and as the potter treadeth clay. Who hath declared from the beginning that we may know, and before time that he may say, he is righteous? Yea, there is none that showeth, yea, there is none that declareth, yea, there is none that heareth your words. The first shall say to Zion, behold, behold them, and I will give to Jerusalem one that bringeth good tidings. For I beheld, and there was no man even among them, and there was no counselor that when I asked of them could answer a word. Behold, they are all vanity, their works are nothing, their molten images are wind and confusion. Again, you can see why these chapters are read on the counting of the Omer. It's to bring you to the point in your mind where you agree with what we've read, that you come before him empty of opinions, empty of ideas, empty, tired of playing God and judging for yourself what is right and wrong. If you don't like something or this or that, blah, 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 endless stuff. So you stand before the Lord as an empty vessel, assured that his reward is with him, or his work is assured, the results are assured. And what's your position in all this? To stay empty. So in that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and my Father in me, you in me, and I in you. Nothing that separates. There's only that oneness. It's no longer up there and down here. Jesus Christ is that door to get to that place. But he's also the door to know anybody. Amen? Have any response?
I don't know. Just fiery darts just popped in my mind for some reason. So I'm just thinking.
You know what the fiery darts of the wicked one are?
I'm going to say what I think. It could be wrong. But for some reason, I don't know why fiery darts came into my mind, but I basically have no fiery darts to fire at anybody. and any fiery darts fired at me have no effect.
About the one about that happened here yesterday. The fiery dart of somebody making too much noise.
Oh, I just exhorted her to try.
No, you didn't. Let's go to Ephesians 6.
Well, you're falsely accusing me. Now I want to justify, but I won't go
there. All right. Ephesians 6, verse 10, real quickly. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now again, There is nothing in this that's talking about an enemy from outside of you. This is all you as the enemy. The evil one in you as the enemy. The evil one that constantly tries to resurrect himself from the dead. Now watch. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now the shield of faith is you bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And the shield of faith, it says there can be no, the fiery darts are just thoughts. But you can, no thought you can have can stand against, it is finished. No thought that you can have can stand against, you've been perfected by one offering. No thought can stand against, all things exist for your sake. No thought can stand against, you own all things. You can say, well, it doesn't look like it. But the fiery dart that keeps saying you need something, or you want something, or this needs to happen, or that needs to happen, all of those fiery darts, above all, you take up the shield of faith. You bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Amen? All right.
That's, I think, what's called jihad in another religion.
Yeah. Well, jihad just means any struggle in Arabic. But their struggle is always outward. It's always an outward.
Not all the time.
Well,
no.
Well, no, I mean, same Christians see this all as outward.
No, I'm saying that when I said it, they see it all as outward, I was talking only about certain sects. So don't. Anyway, take a big